Hello, everybody. Welcome to another D&D 5th edition session report for January 11th, 2015. Well, all the players were here this time. It wasn't just one or two here or there that were missing. All five people showed up. We had Morn the Cleric. We had Liana the Drow Ranger. We had Berend the Dwarven Fighter. Growl the Elven Magic User, and, oh boy, I have forgotten the Halfling Thief's name. Olaf, the Halfling Thief, and not to be confused with the Snowman. Today they worked their way from the village outskirts up to the keep to help protect around 11 civilians, 11 peasants, as they worked their way up through four total encounters with kobolds and acolytes and cultists. It was a pretty fun little get-together. There was much killing, much slaughtering, and a couple of people went down. It was a little challenging here and there, especially when someone got hit and gets knocked out and they have to turn around and get them healed and stuff like that. Well, they went and they talked to the leader of the town, the governor. I cannot remember his name. I think it's Nighthill. Nighthill, yeah, that's what it was. Nighthill. And he gave them the lowdown on what was going on around the area as thanks for getting the townsfolk they did get to the keep. The party was healed up for free so that they wouldn't have to worry about doing any short rests or anything like that. Well, they went down into a tunnel that goes out to a Sully Port. It's a Sully Port where they can sneak people in and out. It's also a place where they could sneak and get water during sieges. But there hadn't been a siege on the keep for as long as anybody can remember. So everybody went down into the tunnels. And unfortunately, they disturbed two nests of rats. So they got swarmed by rats while they were down there. Someone went down. I believe it was the dwarf who fell face down in the dirt when he got a critical hit from a rat swarm and took quite a bit of damage and fell unconscious. He hit exactly the amount of hit points the guy had. Then, after the rest of the party defeated the swarm of rats, they retreated back and got healed up again. I allowed them that because I was not expecting the swarm of rats to be so powerful against them. And I also have killer dice, so I tend to give my players breaks when my dice go all wonky and kill everyone. And I'm a nice DM like that. They eventually got to the end, and they were able to use keys to open up the grate at the Sully Port, and they found a group of cultists and kobolds looking through the reeds along the stream. The party hid down until they went by, and then hopped out in a stealthy manner and surprised everybody. Those poor cultists and kobolds didn't know what hit them within two rounds, one free round, and then during the normal round, the party just wiped them out, slaughtered them before anybody knew what was going on. Nobody could run off to get help or anything. So they have a secret way in and out of the keep, and they'll be able to get as many people as they can through the Sully Port. So that is a really good tactical advantage for the PCs during this adventure. Now, they lost an hour when they had to trudge back and get healed up. So we'll have to see how that affects the adventure, and we'll see what else from there. In terms of the real life as opposed to the game, everybody had a really good time. The Halfling Thief's player kindly gave me some chocolate for my depression of the holidays kind of thing. So he cheered me up a bit. Chocolate was shared around. Unfortunately, it was not gluten-free, so the dwarf's player could not partake. But overall, there was a lot of jokes on the dwarf's behalf. His name is Berend, which loosely translates to bear butt. That's what we were joking about all night. So he was Derriere in the Air, Mr. Moon, that kind of thing. And there were a couple I pulled out. I think Ursine Derriere, or Ursine something or other. I can't remember the exact insult that just took my friend completely off guard, and he just sat there chuckling. The Drow Rangers character had a good time as well. She's an accomplished artist and did a really awesome job at her character portrait. I might ask her to allow me to scan it in, and I might put it up on Tumblr or something like that. So, or at least take a picture of the finished product when she's done, and you'll get a picture of it. Maybe I'll talk her into drawing portraits of all the PCs, and we'll see if she agrees. We played with grid combat this time, grid and miniatures, which seemed to help people a little bit better than the Mind's Eye. And I can see that. We haven't really used Mind's Eye role-playing for combat since 2nd edition D&D back in the day. 3rd edition introduced the grid as a more formal way to do combat and all the rules. And 4th edition really nailed those rules down. But 5th edition mentions the grid in passing. I don't know what Wizards is thinking by changing things so utterly completely with certain things of the game. And their organization of the books are just complete and utter crap. Skills, luckily the module we're using has difficulty classes built in. There isn't any positive comment for me to make about covering skills as a DM in the Dungeon Master's Guide. I'm still in the process of reading that, but I have to keep putting it down because I'm getting irritated with the book. That's got a lot of good stuff about creation of, like, encounters and worlds and campaigns, but not a lot in the running of the game, which is extremely aggravating because the player's handbook has very little in terms of running the game. So, my biggest complaint is skills. They briefly covered in the DMG, probably about 1 or 2 pages. That's it. Nothing else. Don't describe much of anything. And the only time they really describe what skills do is in little bullet points under each of the abilities in the player's handbook. And that's just not going to work for us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the 3rd edition and 4th edition games and pull out all their skills and all their difficulty classes and everything. Because not much has really changed in that respect. How you get your skill points and all that has. But how you actually deal with skills and how they're actually handled in the game hasn't. Even though you can use strength for intimidation or charisma for intimidation, or even constitution for intimidation. It all depends on how the character presents their use of the skill. The basic mechanics of the skill in question does not change, just the stat bonuses. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to compile a list of all the skills from 3rd edition, 4th edition, and all of their minor effects and stuff like that. So for like acrobatics, you get your balance and your jumping and stuff like that. Athletics, you have your running and blah, 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 a whole bunch of junk. So I'm going to be going through and compiling all that and seeing what I can do to make the game a bit more playable in a rules way. And one thing that I did know is the Murder at Baldur's Gate D&D Encounters module did something with the DM screen that I haven't seen before. What they did, this sly little folks at Wizards, is they took all the information pertinent to the module and only the module and put them on the DM screen. It wasn't a standard DM screen. So seeing that makes me remember, hey, yeah, I can make a custom DM screen for stuff that we need for the game, for 5th edition exactly, and the stuff that we have to keep looking up. So I'm going to go ahead and start work on that. I've got a month until the next session, and it'll be February 1st. And you'll get a D&D report after that. So until next time, enjoy playing games, enjoy playing Dungeons & Dragons, Please like, comment, and subscribe. It really helps me a lot to know that people are watching these broadcasts, or at least listening, since they're audio only. Take a moment and visit my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/ExcaliburZone and become a patron today. It really helps. As always, this is Excalibur, and I am out.